One of the first cities in the U.S. to build a vertical farm might be Milwaukee. That's where urban farming pioneer Will Allen is raising money for a farm that will rise 5 stories tall. Allen is the former pro basketball player and MacArthur genius who built one of the nation's most famous inner-city farms. It's called Growing Power, and its downtown Milwaukee home base includes 6 greenhouses, 7 hoop houses, 14 beehives, a worm farm, and a lot of fish.
Yeah, this is greenhouse number 2, and this is a 10,000-gallon fish system with 10,000 tilapia in it. This is called aquaponics. It's a symbiotic relationship between the fish and the plants.
What these kind of fish are those?
Black paku. They are related to piranha. These get up to 60 pounds. They have teeth like humans. We sell them to restaurants, and people come here and purchase fish from our retail store up front. So we eat good around here. See, look at the mouth on that one. It just opened its mouth. See the teeth? I wouldn't put my fingers in there. And a lot of people said, oh, you can't do this. And that kind of turns me on. Because being a former athlete, I like challenges. I like for somebody to say, I can't do something that really stirs my blood. And I'm going to prove that I can do it. I don't care how long it takes me, you know, but I'm gonna be working at it every day.
When Will Allen bought his first 2 acres in downtown Milwaukee, the area was a food desert with nothing but convenience stores and fast food chains nearby. Today, Growing Power produces enough vegetables and fish to feed thousands of people and is a center for jobs and training. Allen tells Enstrainchamps that healthy food and social justice go hand in hand.
One of the declarations I made to the city of Milwaukee is I would hire youth from the community, having grown up on a farm myself, and the things that you can just learn that all kids used to back in the day. Many kids grew up on farms and so forth. So kids were kind of missing that, not knowing really where their food came from. I helped a youth group and nobody would help. They wanted to grow an organic garden, and I gave them the space. And the kids were really the key in terms of engaging their community, because they would take what I was teaching them back home and really demand from their parents to eat healthier and grow some of the things that they were eating here. Like I gave kids salad mix who had never had anything but head lettuce, and all of a sudden they're eating these 12 different mixed salad greens, and he just wanted more and more. And that was really a sign that their bodies really needed this nutrient.
It also strikes me that there's another piece to this story, a historical piece that also has to do with race. I remember reading in your book, you said at one time you thought you must be the only black farmer in Wisconsin. What happened that drove African Americans away from the land?
Well, of course, farming is one of the toughest things you can do. And many African American folks after the Civil War went into sharecropping. Like my father was a sharecropper. You know, one day he just dropped his plow and mule and headed north. And that's what happened to many African Americans that were involved in agriculture. Over 300,000 back in those days, in the 30s and 40s. Now we're down to 18,000 African American farmers in this country, which is just a drop in the bucket. But that's starting to increase now. I don't hear what I heard 15, 20 years ago when I would go into African-American communities and they say, Will, why are you doing this slaves work? I don't hear that anymore. So more people of color are getting involved, and more immigrants who lost their land. And there's a number of reasons. And one reason is the health. Our health of our communities have deteriorated to the point where we have childhood obesity, we have diabetes, we have heart disease, high blood pressure, and people are becoming much more educated around that issue.
How does that then connect with the prevalence of food deserts in our inner cities, these areas where it's really hard to find fresh produce of any kind, let alone local fresh produce?
Well, what happened 20 years ago, many of the retail grocery stores that were anchored in low-income communities pulled out for whatever reasons.
I mean, did they just think, oh, poor people don't want fresh vegetables?
No, I think it had a lot to do with, first of all, those stores were poorly run. They put their worst managers in those stores. They brought in the worst food into those stores. So a lot of it had to do with the racism and how they operated the stores. And, of course, there's more security needed because of, you know, you're in a poor community where there's a lot more crime and so forth. So a lot of stores moved out of those communities, even though there was money to be made. If stores operated properly, they could make a lot of money in those areas. So we're starting to see stores come back in. But we can't wait for that. We have to be proactive. And the easiest and most efficient and the thing that makes sense is grow food in your backyard. You grow a percentage of your food in your backyard, a side yard, or on your balcony, or wherever.
What's the personal satisfaction for you? I mean, what keeps you going? You've been doing this a long time, and it was your second career to begin with.
I think the thing that drives me is I really like farming. I love farming. You know, I like to see things grow. I like to get my food to people. And that's kind of the driving force, is to get healthy food to folks, to be able to get food to everybody, not just to one segment of our community. Because people like to pigeonhole you and say, oh, you're just growing food for really poor people. No, we're growing the same food for everybody. Everybody gets our food, regardless of your economic status. Because it's really all about food access. So that's what really turns me on, the challenge of being able to prove and quantify that this can be done.
Is that the main thing? That's kind of the main challenge, is getting us past believing that this can't be done, that it's just, this is the system we have and the system we're stuck with?
Yeah, and part of what I try to do is inspire people by having this concrete example. You can't just talk about it. So that kind of turns me on, the fact that this is really difficult to do. And if people see it, that it's, somebody's doing it, then they're ready to jump on board. They might not be ready to just say, oh, I'm going to want to do what Will does, you know. But if I prove that it can be done and you can make a living doing it, as I travel the country and talk to colleges, many of these young people want to do this work. They don't want to follow their parents' footsteps into corporate America. They've seen how unhappy and how corporate America has thrown people to the sidelines and so forth. And so they want to do something to give back to their community. You know, and I have a lot of faith in this next generation. And I have a lot of faith in that people of color are now coming back into, and that pleases me to see that happen as well.
Will Allen is the founder and CEO of Growing Power, a farm and community development center in Milwaukee. He won a MacArthur Genius Award in 2008 and is one of Time's 100 most influential people in the world. You can read more about his work in his book, The Good Food Revolution.